Domingo Santana.
The season taken out of the ballpark by Ian Happ, which confirms for sure we will have a lot of home runs hit this year. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today, reacting to the first day of the season. Matt Davidson hit 3 home runs. Tim Anderson hit 2 home runs. We'll talk about 2 start pitchers for Fantasy Week 2 if you're not playing in an 11-day week here in Week 1. We will talk about Dylan Bundy's awesome slider, Jake Odorizzi, 63% owned, outstanding. John Lester was crap. Carlos Martinez walked everybody. And here are Scott, Heath, and Chris. Good morning, guys.
Hey, Adam. That was a fun day yesterday, wasn't it?
It was pretty fun.
It was tons of fun.
Yeah. I had a draft last night. Would you believe that? I had a draft. We were counting the Thursday stats. So you can imagine Matt Davidson was drafted. He might be dropped, but it was fun.
Yeah. Did anybody else stay up for the Rockies Diamondbacks?
I did.
Got a little humidor action. You feeling good?
Well, the home runs were not exactly like clobbered. I don't really have any major takeaways. Like the home runs.
I was
probably
asking how you're feeling after staying up until 2 in the morning to watch a not entertaining baseball game.
I was drafting the draft. The draft took 5 hours, so that's what I was really doing.
Wow.
Thought I flipped over to Edwin Diaz tight roping a save. That was entertaining. Yeah.
Well, at least he got it. Closers were bad.
It was a
yesterday.
Very Edwin Diaz save. 3 strikeouts, 2 hit batters, 2 stolen bases allowed.
Yes. And I thought Patrick Corbin was encouraging, had that slider really working for him. So, you know, fun stuff. I didn't really get to see Felix, but we'll talk about it. Guys, let's get into it. We'll start with double and triple dongs from yesterday. Also, we will talk about Greg Holland. We will talk about the Giants bullpen, etc. Matt Davidson, 44% owned. 3 for 4 with 3 home runs, 5 RBIs, and a walk at Kansas City. His teammate, Tim Anderson, 43% owned. 2 for 4 with 2 home runs, 3 RBIs, a walk, and a strikeout at Kansas City. The most incredible thing about Davidson and Anderson is not the combined 5 home runs. It's the combined 2 walks to 1 strikeout.
Wow. Wow.
Slight exaggeration.
If project that out, they're completely different players than we thought they were.
Exactly.
44% ownership for Davidson. I would guess that quadrupled since yesterday. And, the thing is, we knew Davidson could hit home runs. He hit 26 in basically 2/3 of a season last year. He also walked 19 times and struck out 165 times in 2/3 of a season. And one game where he didn't strike out at all. Like, that's not enough for me to think that, I don't know. Nothing about this game tells me he's a different player than I thought he was. He just happened to have the best case scenario that player is capable of having. I feel like the upside for Davidson with those plate discipline issues is kind of like what Rougned Odor was last year, which is, of course, not a very good fantasy player.
Well, upside's 40 home runs.
Rougned Odor hit 30-something last year.
Does anyone want to? I'm not really feeling 31. Like working today. So we could actually make this podcast really, really short and easy and just say we learned absolutely nothing new about anyone yesterday, because that's the truth.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys later.
No, the closers, though. I mean, like, the Holland thing is obviously huge.
Yes.
I
was joking, Adam.
No, but you're not.
All kinds of new things.
Mood.
But you're not that wrong.
Just trying to pick fights.
Chris is definitely in a mood. This should be very entertaining, but to sum it up, the 2 White Sox guys, Davidson and Anderson, are you interested in adding them? Even if you don't think they're going to be that good, how interested are you in adding them?
I get a little more excited about Anderson because for the reason I drafted him late in some roto leagues, I feel like there's steals potential there. Had like 9 of his stolen bases in September last year, ran a ton in the minors. We knew he had some power too, like a 2-homer game from Tim Anderson, other than the fact that it came on opening day, isn't especially notable. He has terrible plate discipline. He's probably not a points league pickup. But in roto leagues, if he was unowned and you need steals, I think, yeah, now's a good time to pick that up.
Yeah, I would think in both Davidson and Anderson in a categories league could be worth an add depending who the last man on your bench is. I don't think Matt Davidson's going to be a really good player, but I also think that he could be very – like there's a lot of guys that hit a bunch of home runs and strike out a lot, and just the – variables that come along with baseball, he could be one of the good ones.
But he just never walks. That's part of the equation. Like, it's not like he could be Joey Gallo, you know? It's
well, yeah, like, how excited are we about Todd Frazier? Because isn't that probably his ceiling? Like, the last couple of seasons of Todd Frazier?
Right. That's a good point. So, like, 220 with a lot of home runs.
Except Todd Frazier will walk a bunch.
Yeah, that's yeah. Even Todd Frazier walks.
And he's in a better lineup. Yeah. I know the White Sox might not get to face Danny Duffy every day.
But hey, we've been wrong before. Right, he did homer off three pitchers, to be fair. We've been wrong before.
He walked quite a bit in the minors. So, like, I'm not ready to rule out the possibility of him ever walking.
Don't drop David Dahl for him, right?
No.
No.
Don't drop Scott Kingery for him. Heath, we got a tweet about that. Don't drop Scott Kingery.
I don't know. I mean, he's going to play every day.
He got Kingery so much.
He's going to play every day. I don't know if anybody in the Phillies is going to play more than four times a week.
Let it sort itself out.
The Phillies thing is actually a thing that happened yesterday that's worth talking about.
All right. Yeah. We'll get into
managerial,
that.
Malpractice.
Managerial yeah. decisions, I think, are what the most notable things we picked up on from opening day.
Yes. Gabe Kapler had a worse opening day than... Joe Kelly?
It may have been the worst managerial debut of all time.
It was pretty bad.
Let's not overreact.
Like, He has a
nine-man bullpen. Aaron Nola went four innings in his last start. Let's not bury the guy.
Okay, let's get into why it was.
It was the worst one I know of.
And first of all, like, it doesn't mean he's going to be a bad manager, but I don't think you could argue he didn't have a bad game.
Terrible game.
He didn't start Odubel Herrera, first of all, when everybody thought he wasn't going to be part of this outfield rotation. He was just a fixture in center field. It seemed to upset Odubel Herrera based on some of the quotes out there, so he's got that to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
He removed his ace, Aaron Nola, after 68 pitches when he had a gym going in the sixth inning, and relying on a bullpen that isn't especially deep to preserve the lead for, you know, about four innings. The bullpen did not preserve that lead. Spoiler alert.
Dumb.
In the meantime, he removed Reese Hoskins, his best hitter, for defensive purposes, and obviously the Braves came back to tie it. It would have been nice to have that hitter in the lineup. And finally, he used his closer... in an unorthodox situation, road team ninth inning of a tie game, and the closer ended up losing the game.
He also said after the game that he doesn't have a defined closer. He's not going to do that. And I would say, like, the fact of did he lose that game yesterday for the Phillies? Maybe. That's not that huge of a deal, but he may have gone a long way towards losing the clubhouse by sitting someone like Odubel Herrera and pulling Aaron Nola after 68 pitches.
That assumes that, like, he's not the one that built this weird roster with 10 everyday players for eight spots, you know?
Well, I don't, like, we don't really know for sure that Nick Williams is an everyday player.
Well, the reason why he said he sat Odubel Herrera was that Aaron Nola is a ground ball pitcher, so he didn't feel like he needed the outfielder, whatever. It was dumb. It was probably not true.
There were a lot of defensible moves. Like, you could defend a lot of these moves he made. Aaron Nola, for instance, hit third time through the lineup, significantly worse last year than first two times. Basically, every hitter was Eric Hosmer against him the third time through last year.
Doesn't sound so bad.
But at the same time, like, it doesn't have a very deep people. And the more links you put on that chain, the more... You're asking nobody to be a weak link. The Nola one, you know?
I can't really blame him.
And obviously, we don't want to see that happen for Nola in our position as fantasy analysts, because if he's not going to be allowed to throw six, seven innings consistently, he's not going to be a very good fantasy option.
Yeah, I mean, like Severino got lifted at 5 2/3, but Severino would throw 90 pitches. He threw Noah threw 68 pitches, so that was very surprising. And we hope that they don't get so analytical that we're never going to get any quality starts from Aaron Nola, but I think it would be an overreaction to assume that's just going to keep happening. In fact, right. This might be a good thing that the bullpen blew it so badly for their ace that maybe he'd be more inclined now to leave Nola in a little bit longer.
I really just think Aaron Nola wasn't fully stretched out. I think that's
68
all that
pitches, though.
He had only thrown four innings in his last spring start.
All right. Well, you know what? Again, we're not going to overreact, but it was not a good day for Kapler. All right, here's a – before we get back into yesterday's stuff, fun new segment. Favorite two-star pitcher owned in less than 50% of leagues, all I want is a name. Who to pick up for next week, for week two, which is Monday to Sunday. So if you're only playing a four-game week one or four-day week one, week two, the best two-star pitcher owned in less than 50% of leagues is who? Whom?
Jake Junis. Now, we're kind of assuming the Royals slot him fourth rather than fifth. If they slot him fifth for some reason, then he won't be making two starts. But
okay, Jake Junis.
But I am right now assuming because he's obviously more deserving of the fourth slot than Eric Skoglund, that it's going to be Jake Junis, who had like 20 strikeouts in 14 innings this spring, and very anxious to see what he can do against in regular season play.
Okay, I'll take Hyunjin Ryu, 33% at Arizona, at San Francisco. Granted, I am working on a list that is incomplete. Scott will have a much better list than I will, but I'm looking at a league page, and that'll be updated. Any other names?
Marco Gonzalez, very good spring prospect pedigree, and he has great matchups at San Francisco, at Minnesota, two good places to pitch. Marco Gonzalez.
I was going to go with Jake Junis.
I'm sorry. I would dispute calling Minnesota a great matchup.
It's not a – I didn't say great
matchup.
Oh,
you sure did. You said he has two great matchups.
I said he is pitching in great situations where his chances of success are higher than they otherwise would be. Play it back and you'll hear those exact words, Matt. Thank you very much.
All right. Sorry, Heath. Go ahead.
I was going to say Jake Junis.
All right.
I don't know that I have another one.
You could still say Jake Junis. Yeah. I thought the point of this was just to say names, but then I had to fill the silence, and I let us down a bad path.
Yeah, okay, we're done then. Two Jake Junises, Hyunjin Ryu, Marco Gonzalez. You can consider those guys, and of course we'll have some written advice for you on the website, cbssports.com/fantasy.
It's already up.
Oh, all right, great.
All your week two stuff is already up. You can already set your lineup.
You can put it on the board.
Yes.
One last quick, yellow light on that is there are a lot of rainouts in April. Yeah. So going with a marginal two-star pitcher, just be aware if he's pitching on a Sunday, you know, if he's scheduled to pitch on a Sunday, there's a chance he doesn't make that start. So, you know, keep it in mind. All right. Josh Donaldson dealing with a sore arm as we get into the big news here.
This was weird.
Yeah, it was. Dead arm.
Because they mentioned that he had a sore shoulder in early March, and I don't think we ever talked about it on the podcast because nobody ever made it sound like a big deal in spring training.
Yeah.
Like, I went back yesterday during that game once I saw, and I was trying to find any sign that the shoulder should have been something we were worried about, and there really wasn't any. It was the calf like 10 days ago, but he could not make throws to first base. They were calling it dead arm.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. And dead arm basically is an unprepared arm. And it's worth noting that between the shoulder injury and the calf injury, he didn't play much this spring. Mm-hmm. Didn't play the field very much. So it's just possible his arm is not game ready yet.
And Ryan Zimmerman is a guy a couple years ago who was a third baseman, had a shoulder injury where he basically couldn't throw the ball well anymore. But it never stopped him from hitting, really. Like, he's had the injury concerns, but, you know, he was still able to hit. It's just he couldn't throw.
It could become a bad news situation for Kendrys Morales if that's the case.
They actually are saying they may have to play him at DH a little more for the time being, Donaldson specifically. So, yeah, that would hurt Morales' playing time. But for the most part, John Gibbons totally downplayed this. He said it looked worse because he had to make a couple of off-balance throws. They're not worried at all.
They have spent this spring sounding just a little bit Mets-ish on injuries.
That's how I feel about this Donaldson thing. I mean, this might be nothing, and he might DH. By the way, it would hurt Morales. It would put Solarte in the lineup.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, not a bad option for deeper leagues. But yeah, it's scary. I'm not sure that I'd be trying to trade Josh Donaldson, but if I got a trade offer that had Josh Donaldson coming to my side, I would reject it. I would not. I don't want to touch him unless I, you know. I mean, I'd probably give up like Devers for him. But
I'm worried. Not,
you would give up.
I think I would.
Yeah, you would give up Devers for him. Yeah, that makes sense. Like that's the thing. Like, yeah, it's a little concerning. But what can you actually do because of it? Like, it's not a good time to try trading him because the guy who doesn't have Donaldson is not going to pay what Donaldson is worth. And more likely than not, it's going to be okay. So you just kind of have to cross your fingers, I feel like.
I am very worried about him in my 6x6 with assists.
He's going to crush you now. All right, then. St. Louis signed Greg Holland, who is 75% owned, to a one-year $14 million deal. Greg Holland will be a top blank closer, or RP, going forward.
Greg Holland will be a top 10 closer. Feel pretty confident in saying that. He was a stud for every month but August last year, playing half his games at Colorado. He got a cut on his finger in August, lost the feel for his slider. His sliders is everything. And had like an ERA over 10 that month. But the other 4 months, his ERA was like 170. And now he's not in Colorado, and he's pitching for a playoff contender. And, yeah, I think he's really good.
Did you miss the part yesterday where Adam told us the Cardinals are going to be awful, and then they got beat 9-4 by the Mets? Like,
I don't remember Adam saying, did you say the Cardinals would be awful?
No, I said I could see them being bad or something like that.
I think awful was the word you used.
I may have.
I'll say top 13.
Mike Matheny is my hot seat manager. I think he could be the first.
Well, until Gabe Kapler came along.
No, he's a first year guy. Mike Matheny is the old Red Sox. Who got fired from the Red Sox last year? Sorry. John Farrell. John Fox coached the Bears, but he's the new John Farrell. Anyway,
I will say,
go ahead.
I'm not necessarily sure Greg Holland is an elite closer anymore. I mean, he's dealt with the injuries the last couple of years. Walk problems have been a very big issue for him the last couple of years. And, 2015 before the injury and then 2017 when he came back. Maybe it was just a little bit of rust last year. Maybe it was pitching in Colorado, but.
You know, 2016, he was injured.
Yeah, I know. I said that.
Okay. Before Tommy John and for 5 of the 6 months last year, he was Jansen Kimbrel level.
Yeah. Would you rather have Holland or Raisel Iglesias?
Raisel.
Holland.
And when do we think he's going to start closing for them?
Yeah, I didn't see a good estimate of that. But I would imagine, since he's a guy who works an inning at a time, a week or two.
Okay, so Dominic Leone owners. Sorry. Philadelphia manager Gabe Kapler said he will not have a defined closer. Hunter Strickland got a save for the Giants as Melanson's on the DL. Strickland's 20% owned. Anybody else? Are you looking to pick anybody else up in the Phillies bullpen? Or how about, you know what? We got to go right into bullpen stuff here. How about Brad Brock and him blowing a save? Now, it was a little unfortunate. Chris Davis made a bad play behind him. Then the blooper tied the game. He was almost out of the inning.
The two walks were his fault. But otherwise,
Darren O'Day and Michael Givens were both good.
They were. And Scott and I were in the Scam League in the 16-team categories league. We were deciding who to pick between Givens and O'Day, and we went with O'Day because they used Givens a lot last year for more than one inning. So obviously Brock had already been taken. This was our last pick. We'll speculate. Who would you speculate on if it weren't Brock? And let's not act like he just lost the job, but it wasn't a good start for him.
Yeah, O'Day pitched the eighth inning, so I would still speculate with him, but My guess is it's still going to be Brock next time. The only reason after this kind of performance there's any reason to doubt it'll be Brock is because Buck Showalter was less than fully on board with Brock as spring training was coming to the end.
Well, yeah, he basically said that they were going to have a closer by committee. So I would not be surprised if it's not Brock next time, but I think Brock will get another chance.
Then what about Strickland? Strickland or Addison Reed? After Fernando Rodney went all Rodney on us.
Rodney just allowed a solo home run. I definitely Strickland. And it's worth noting that Bruce Bochy isn't necessarily counting out Melanson. He feels like he could be back in a couple weeks, but he also clarified that with, yeah, I don't really know. It depends when he starts throwing. And like, if he wasn't healthy after an off season of rest, like it could, like Strickland could be the Giants' closer rest of the season.
Yeah, exactly. It's 20% owned. Good guy to take a shot on, Hunter Strickland. All right, some other news. Do I have any other bullpen news? Familia was good yesterday. Camber Joseph.
Yeah, Familia, his velocity was exceptional yesterday. Averaged like 97.4 miles per hour with his fastball. So if there are physical concerns there, they did not show up yesterday.
Keone Kello, what do you have to say about the Rangers?
He is the Rangers closer. He didn't get the pitch yesterday.
Okay.
But he has been declared the Rangers closer.
Okay, great. And then Ken Giles struggled, but whatever. Camber Drosian pitched the sixth, which is good news for Blake Parker. And I'm just waiting for Addison Reed. I mean, Reed pitched two scoreless innings. Fernando Rodney's so
He's
bad.
Better than Fernando Rodney, but Fernando Rodney is the cockroach of closers.
Well, look, yeah, you don't add Fernando Rodney after his entire career, which spans about three decades at this point, where he's been the same exact guy. You don't add that guy to your team and then watch him give up a home run in his first appearance and be like, whoa!
No,
this is not the Fernando Rodney I signed up for. Excuse me, take him out of the closer's role.
What are you doing May 1st?
What do you mean? I'm podcasting with you May 1st.
Yeah, well, you pick whatever you want me to do on the podcast. I will rap. I will do something crazy.
Shave your head.
If Fernando Rodney is still the closer by May 1st.
Whoa. Shave your
head. You know what? June 1st.
Do a Friar John.
June 1st.
Shave your head.
You're hedging.
June 1st.
With the monk's
No, I'm not doing that. But
yeah, you are.
He will not be the closer by June 1st.
Shave your cat.
Shave your chest with a straight edge razor.
Ah, no.
We wouldn't get evidence of that.
We can record it. Pretty hairy.
He's hairy. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. It's true. Okay. Other news. Are you interested in adding Joey Lucchese? I hope that's how you pronounce it. I forgot to look that
Lucchese?
Lucchese. He will make his MLB debut today for the Padres. Are you interested in adding him?
I'm interested in him. I don't know that I'm interested in adding him because there are a lot of other pitchers I think I'd like, Jake Junis, for instance, that I think I'd be looking to add before Lucchese. How did you say Lucchese? I'd been saying Lucchese, but did not verify that anywhere.
Joey Lukes.
he's kind of like an Alex Wood sort of prospect where it's not like he has these favorable scouting reports, shows up in high in all the rankings, but his minor league numbers are very, very impressive. And he has that deceptive lefty thing going on where if there's anything that's going to beat a scouting report, it's that. So definitely interested in seeing how this goes.
Michael Conforto could be ready by April 5th. That's outstanding. He's 89% owned. Michael Conforto. Mike Zunino was scratched with side soreness, and Tyler Flowers left with oblique discomfort, and Kurt Suzuki replaced him. So it's been a rough start for catchers with Perez on the DL, and hopefully this is nothing more than day-to-day for Zunino and Flowers. Is there anything we know, or we'll just wait and see?
Nope.
Okay.
I think Flowers is going on the DL with an oblique. I think I saw that on the Twitter feed this morning.
Great. Okay. Kurt
Suzuki
time.
Yeah, it's frustrating because obliques, we all know.
But he's also Tyler Flowers, and
yeah,
he was good last year.
Now, no, he was good.
Catchers in baseball.
Look, when he got hurt, I told you I think he's one of the most underrated players in baseball. But he's not a great fantasy option because he splits at bats almost 50-50 with Kurt Suzuki. It might actually be a good thing because now there's no 50-50 split there, and Suzuki, while not as good as Flowers, can be useful.
Okay, let's talk about Thursday's standouts. We'll look at the most added lists as well. We'll get you ready for week two. Who wants to lead? Heath, why don't you lead off? Who was your Thursday standout?
I'll eat a little bit of crow on Dylan Bundy. He was outstanding against the Twins. I think it'll be interesting to see with the Twins. You said, I don't know that they're a great matchup. We don't know for sure if they're a great matchup. They could still be a really good swinging strike matchup because of Miguel Sano, because of Byron Buxton. They've still got guys that whiff in that lineup. So that is my question, but this definitely piques my interest. Bundy with 7 shutout innings, 7 strikeouts. The slider was nasty.
15 swinging strikes, 12 of them with the slider. It was the best swinging strike rate he's ever had with the slider. He did have more swinging strikes last year on opening day with the slider, however.
Yeah. When he throws the slider, he's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's every, so, you know, it's encouraging to see him throw it between a third and a fourth of the time yesterday. He's got to keep it up.
And this is Dylan Bundy we're talking about, who went seven scoreless with seven strikeouts against the Twins. And he apparently used his two-seamer, which he did not use last year. So that is something
and
to keep
that,
an eye on.
And that was, there was an off-season story about how he, you know, learned it from Andrew Cashner, which hopefully his is better than Andrew Cashner's. But
and on the other side of that, like Jake Odorizzi went six innings and struck out seven.
Yeah, so. He's got to be in this discussion, too, of standouts. And he's available. Odorizzi, 63% owned. Now, I was wondering if he was going to ditch the high fastball that the Rays organization preaches, but according to what I read on 1500ESPN.com from Derek Wetmore, who was writing about the game, he did not. He used it rather effectively. It was a good weapon for him, for Jake Odorizzi. But Odorizzi, 63% owned, not a big strike. I mean, this was a great start at Baltimore. I was not expecting this. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I mean, he's had good starts before,
and
right?
Baltimore will whiff.
Sure. Like, I don't, it's not, like, the reason I'm distinguishing Dylan Bundy's start from Odorizzi is because we've seen Dylan Bundy, based on the use of that one pitch, just be flat-out dominant. Well, Odorizzi, I mean, he's always going to be, I feel like, this mid-range pitcher who will occasionally have starts like this, but will, you know, end up with an ERA near four, less than a strikeout per inning.
Sounds a lot like Dylan Bundy.
Well, no, I feel like Dylan Bundy, yeah, I feel like there's another threshold he can cross into if he just makes maximum use of his arsenal.
And there were some weird things going on in that game. Dylan Bundy might have had two home runs robbed, at least one for sure.
Yeah.
And it was a day game. The shadows were kind of weird. I noticed that at a couple of the day games yesterday with the Marlins and with Baltimore, where the shadows just kind of crossing just ahead of home plate. So, you know, it's worth keeping in mind that.
Sure. It's also worth keeping in mind that according to my notes, and I feel like I want to look this up, but Dylan Bundy in August went 4-0 with a 2 ERA, 6 walks, 45 strikeouts, and 16% swinging strike rate in 36 innings. So he finished the season on a tear.
Used the slider a lot late in the season.
Okay, good. So this is something to keep an eye on here with Dylan Bundy. What did you guys think of Felix Hernandez? Heath, he's 82% owned. If Felix were available in your leagues. Now, he had a shortened start because he really was not stretched out. 83 pitches, but no runs on 2 hits, 4 strikeouts in 5 1/3 against the Indians. Would you rush to pick him up if he were available, Felix Hernandez?
You know, I just checked, and he is available in one of my points leagues. And I don't know that I would say I'm rushing to pick him up, but I am probably going to pick him up. I think this is encouraging enough that you take a shot at it. Listen, the 4 strikeouts in 5 1/3 is not great, but this is a baby step.
The velocity was down a little bit.
And I'm okay with, like, I expect Felix and even Cole Hamels, they're not getting their velocity back, I don't think. But we have a history of really good pitchers that age and eventually turn into a different type of still good, if not as good, pitcher. I think those are both possibilities for both Hamels and Hernandez. And I was pretty encouraged by both yesterday.
Hernandez or Odorizzi?
Hernandez.
I'll take Felix.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's much to gain from speculating on Odorizzi. There may be from Hernandez, but I'm not as hopeful as these other two, I don't think.
Scott, who was a standout for you yesterday?
Who we haven't already mentioned? Probably
good or bad.
Hang on. Let me consult my notes real quick here.
I mean, I'll give you some candidates. John Lester.
Yeah, well, he obviously didn't stand out in a good way.
No, it's
and that
we haven't mentioned Jose Martinez yet.
We have not.
That was huge. Not only was he in the lineup for opening day against a righty, against Noah Syndergaard with Carpenter playing third base, but he made Noah Syndergaard look like, you know, look like rubble.
Yeah.
3 hits, Barney a home rubble. Run.
Barney?
Barney rubble. Yeah.
Certainly. No, Martinez is the one who looked like Barney rubble. I think gave himself. Is it Barney Rubble? Like, no, that's Bam Bam. Never mind. Bam Bam's the
Barney was
one,
a
right?
Little short dude. He was kind of funny. I mean, I liked him, but he didn't look anything like Jose Martinez.
Yeah, a little dim.
but anyway.
Loyal friend.
Jose Martinez, I think. If he's doing that against Noah Syndergaard, how are they going to keep him out of the lineup? That's my point.
That was a good start for him, and he's available. Yonder Alonso, Jose Martinez. Who would you rather have right now?
Jose.
Sure, yeah.
I kind of want them both. I don't know. You've already got six I don't know that I'm dropping Yonder for Jose Martinez.
Jose Martinez is outfield eligible. Yonder is not.
That's true.
The key. Okay.
That is true.
That is helpful. All right, Chris, a standout for you, good or bad?
Let's get into John Lester. He looked bad against what's going to be a pretty bad Marlins lineup. But some of it wasn't his fault. There was some very bad outfield play.
From a player that will remain unnamed.
I mean, he had a good game. But yeah, like John Lester didn't look good. The velocity was down again. So it's certainly something to keep an eye on with him because we had those concerns coming in. But it's one start. The two misplayed balls by Kyle Schwarber, one of them should have been a double, turned into a triple. One of them should have been a ball that went right back into the infield, and he played it into a triple and I think two runs. So that wasn't entirely his fault.
Well, the problem is John Lester is going to pitch with Kyle Schwarber behind him a decent amount.
Yeah. Kyle Schwarber's not going to misplay two balls every game. That was an especially... But we've seen Kyle Schwarber play the outfield before. He doesn't do that.
No,
I think the bigger problem is they may not have, especially if Kyle Schwarber is playing left field, they may not have a great defense in that regard. And if John Lester is striking out two batters, he's going to need a great defense.
Sure, but he struck out almost a batter per inning last year. So let's not overreact.
Yeah, but so Lester had only 25 strikeouts in his last 34 regular season innings, only 7 strikeouts in 14 and a third postseason innings. So that's what, 48 and a third innings to end the season with 32 strikeouts. So it's something to keep an eye on. Lester struck out 2 batters in 3 and a third while giving up 7 hits with 3 walks. It was a terrible start. If you believe in John Lester, then this is actually someone that I think you could possibly buy low on after one game. Because I could see somebody jumping ship.
Sure.
If you do. I don't.
I do.
I mean, I would pay. I don't see anybody selling low enough that I'd be willing to take a shot at it. But you know, there's a point, obviously, where that would happen.
Would you be willing to give up Kevin Gausman right now for John Lester?
Sure.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
What about Dylan Bundy?
I would be willing to give up Dylan Bundy for John Lester.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. Okay. I got to tell y'all about SeatGeek. Get on that SeatGeek. Oh, actually, true story about SeatGeek. This happened last night. I was talking with one of our listeners, David, who a loyal listener. He and I have been in touch, and he lives in New York. And we're going to go to a Yankees game. And he went on SeatGeek, actually, and he purchased us 2 tickets to the Yankees game on Friday night against the Orioles, right behind home plate for only $28, or like $33. Of course, you know, it's 400 levels, but it is right behind home plate. But no, we got a good deal. And we use SeatGeek, and you should use it too. So download the SeatGeek app, and if you want to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase, you enter the promo code FANTASY. That promo code is FANTASY on the SeatGeek app. Here's what SeatGeek does. Goes out and searches multiple ticket sites, pulls in the results, gives them all a grade based on value. You can see where you're getting the most bang for your buck. Where are the bargains? You can use SeatGeek for games, for concerts, for comedy, for theater, and every purchase is fully guaranteed. So get yourself the SeatGeek app, or you can go to the website, SeatGeek.com, and enter the promo code FANTASY to save $20 on your first ticket purchase. Again, download the SeatGeek app and use the promo code FANTASY. All right, next section here. Worried yet? And John Lester was the headliner for this. But let's go to Carlos Martinez. Worried yet? 6 walks, 4 earned runs, and 4 and a third at the Mets.
Nope.
Nah.
All right. John Gray, worried yet?
Nope.
Man, he couldn't even succeed with the humidor. I'm not worried.
No. Nope. No. Next one, we may get a little worried.
Nope.
Oddly enough, with John Gray, he's been better at home than on the road, just ERA-wise, the last 2 years. Next one is, what, Danny Duffy? Danny Duffy, worried yet?
Nope.
A little. Danny Duffy had some elbow issues at the end of spring. He lost control in his last spring start and could not throw a strike. They pulled him out. He said he was fine. He started off this game looking great and then just hit a wall again. And I have a little bit of concern, yes.
Yeah.
His velocity was like 90, 91, 92.
The average 91.1 with the fastball.
Which is bad. He doesn't have great enough stuff to be good.
Yeah, I mean, that was 2 miles per hour down from where he was last season. So that's certainly concerning, but
it's one star.
Corey Kluber's velocity was down 2 miles an hour.
Corey Kluber didn't leave his start before with elbow pain.
Yeah, that's the issue. And on the Sportsline DFS podcast, by the way, Heath Cummings and Mike McClure gave DFS lineups yesterday. Actually got in on the 10 p.m. two-game slate, which was fun. Finished second place in a 50-50. Good for me.
Well done. Well
yeah.
Done.
Used a little BVP data for some David Peralta, something, yeah, Jared, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, Heath said he didn't trust Danny Duffy. It was a good matchup, but you don't want to trust the guy who had the arm issue in his last start, and I thought that was a good point, so he struggled, gave up 3 homers. And finally, Chris Archer, you worried yet?
Not even a little bit.
Actually, this was good stuff from Archer.
That's Denard Span's fault.
Yes, that stupid inside the park home run.
Wait. Denard Span hit a 3-run homer yesterday, right?
No.
Cool. That has nothing to do with Chris Archer's game.
I'm just saying, like we were just saying, Kyle Schwarber had a good game. He had two misplays.
I said that was Kyle Schwarber's fault, too.
Yeah. So basically, Denard Span hasn't figured out yet that he's playing next to the best center fielder in baseball in Kevin Kiermaier and did not cede to him on a gapper. Yeah. That Kiermaier could have easily caught, but instead there was a near collision and the ball rolled to the wall.
Yeah, so Archer gave up 4 runs in 6 innings and at Boston, and Boston destroyed him last year. Again, home against Boston. Boston destroyed him last year. His ERA was like 580 against the Red Sox. But anyway, fine start from Chris Archer. If you saw the home run from Eduardo Nunez in the box score, it was a pretty weak inside the park home run. I don't understand. I mean, like, let's get with the times. That's clearly an error. Just start scoring it a stupid error. Not a hit.
He didn't touch the ball, though.
Of course it's an error. Why does it have to be?
Error.
You know what? If you didn't touch the ball, that's an even bigger error. Like, you're pathetic. You couldn't even touch the ball.
It's not an error if you don't touch the ball.
It should be.
This is why ERA is a great stat.
It should be an error.
Good home run, Eduardo.
All right.
Can I mention one player I am a little bit worried about, at least for the remainder of his upcoming series?
Yeah.
The shift that the Astros were employing on Joey Gallo, if he doesn't bunt, that's like a home run or nothing defensive alignment, right?
Why doesn't he bunt?
They asked him after the game. He said he's never really done it. He's not comfortable with it. He's not going to do it every time, but he's open to the idea.
Yeah,
and I think that's
start
all
practicing.
It is.
I don't think it'd be hard to do.
It's not like a guarantee. Bunting is more difficult. And they mentioned that it might have just been because of Justin Verlander, who they say is a tough butt pitcher to bunt. Like, bunting is something that looks really easy because you're just standing there and pointing your bat. Probably more difficult to do against a 95-mile-an-hour fastball than we think.
Have we ever seen a left-handed slugger bunt? It never happens.
I was doing research on it yesterday. Carlos Pena, in the twilight of his career, actually had 17 bunt hits over the course of 3 seasons.
And?
He was 17 for 24 on bunt attempts.
And? Anyone and else? Like, that's it. There are so many left-handed power hitters that get shifted. It won't happen.
The shift becoming more prevalent.
Didn't we see Brian McCann do it last year?
I can't remember
year?
Who it was.
I think we've seen Moustakas do it.
Yeah.
SB Nation's analytics blog did a study on this. And the rate of bunt attempts against the shift has basically stayed level. It's like 1% every year. It should be, but I don't think every team is going to be willing to try it the way the Astros do. The Astros are a team that, it's fair to say, has a pretty wide margin for error. If Joey Gallo does drop a bunt, I don't think they're worried. But, like, this is a thing that players are going to have to get used to. Joey Gallo's not going to hit a double against 4 outfielders unless he hits it down the line. That's the only chance he has. So, I'm not worried about Joey Gallo. He's going to hit his home runs, but try to bunt, man. That's all.
Okay. Let's take a look at the most added list here. Brad Boxberger is number 1. Scott Kingery is 83% owned. He's number 2. Did not play yesterday. That was pretty number 2-ish.
We expected that, though. I mean, he's a bench player.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily expect that. I thought they'd find a spot for him on opening day with the buzz that he generated. Now, I'm not dropping him. If he's not in the lineup today, though, or I don't even know if they're playing today, but in their second game, then that will be concerning.
Wow, why do you hate Scott Kingery, Scott?
No, but wait, hold on. Let's talk about it. I mean, we've talked about there are avenues for Scott Kingery to start playing. You know, even if it's not right now, this is a guy you should not have picked up Scott Kingery to put him in your lineup immediately. You should have picked him up to stash him and realize there's opportunity for him.
Like, they're not going to put, like, I still, like, have a hard time believing, okay, we're going to make this long-term commitment to our best prospect, commit these dollars to him over this number of years, and we're just going to let him, I mean, we're going to let his talent stagnate on the bench. We're going to let him waste
away.
They paid
him like a bench player. like that. That's the thing, is that the thing about that contract for the Phillies is, if he's just a bench player, if he's just a guy that starts every 3 days for the next 6 years, it's a great contract.
Oh, but God,
don't,
no.
You don't, yes. You don't, that's what bench players, you don't give paid a guy that contract
of
straight
course
out of the minors when you have him for free, basically, for 3 years, and you can wait and see what he becomes. You don't give him that contract if you don't think he's going to be a fixture for your team.
I mean, in year one, he doesn't have to be a fixture.
But he's...
Just be patient, okay?
You lose development if you just sit.
They've got 10 guys for 8 spots.
All right, let's not get bogged down in this here. Just Kingery,
you hate talking about Scott Kingery. You hate talking about Scott Kingery as much as these two hate the guy.
I love talking about Scott Kingery. What I don't want to talk about, though, is like the merits of putting him on the bench and
okay,
pay,
but it's
it
not
per
it's not
dollar
just Scott Kingery. Odubel Herrera, Aaron Altair, Nick Williams. These are all guys who are going to have trouble finding everyday
play. Michael Franco, JP Crawford, Cesar Hernandez.
Not Cesar Hernandez. He donged yesterday.
I think maybe Reese Hoskins. I think the only one who's well, you know what? Reese Hoskins just shifted.
Nobody
first
is safe.
Nobody's safe in the Phillies lineup. You know who didn't start at catcher yesterday? Jorge Alfaro. Yeah. Nobody's safe.
That's true. Carlos Santana better be pretty safe. All right, other most added players. Yasmani Grandal, 85% owned. Matt Davidson, 45%. Hanley Ramirez, 71%. Jack Flaherty, 52%. Steven Matz is 81%. Kendall Graveman, come on, folks. 40%. No, right? No.
He wasn't good yesterday, but I'm interested in Kendall Graveman. He showed signs of being interesting last season.
All right.
The fastball velocity was up. He's got a great sinker. I'm not disinterested in him.
Okay, well, I know you're going to be disinterested in Ty Bloch, who's now 60% owned after yesterday.
I wrote about him in the waiver wire call in the day. Don't add him.
Don't add him.
3 walks, 3 strikeouts over 5 innings. Bloch.
Great start.
Yeah, he's Bloch.
Do you have to say his name that way?
He defeated Clayton Kershaw.
0 ERA, 1-0 on the season. Never lost head-to-head against Clayton Kershaw.
He probably
Kershaw
got more fantasy points than Clayton Kershaw yesterday, didn't he?
You blockhead.
Yeah,
did he
I'm
get
sure
more fantasy
did
points than Clayton Kershaw yesterday?
I'm sure he did.
He won. So, yeah, probably.
So stupid.
Kershaw did give up 8 hits. It wasn't like vintage Kershaw. Not that he was bad or anything. But all right. Fun non-baseball news. The freeze is officially the best non-baseball thing in baseball. This is the super, super fast guy who just destroys everybody he races on
makes
the warning track
every time.
It's incredible.
It's so good.
Yeah, look it up if you don't know it. The Phillies need a left-handed batting practice pitcher, and they are allowing fans to audition. So what I'm going to tell you is, if you listen to this podcast and you live in Philadelphia and you're left-handed and you want to throw BP, go audition, win the job, and tell them you heard about it through the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. That would be a terrific endorsement. And did you see this controversy about whether or not the bird on the Baltimore Orioles logo has an open or closed mouth?
This is... I'm having a hard time not, like... I don't know what the hell the people who think his mouth is open are talking about.
You're 100% right. 100%.
It's not even, like...
It's closed.
It's not even... There's no reason to think that it's open.
Well,
like, why would the top of his bill be orange and the bottom be black? Have these people ever seen a bird in their lives?
Yeah, I agree. I can see it, but it is closed.
Oh yeah,
it's closed.
It's not.
Yeah,
even,
when
no
you know, when you look at it long enough, it's like one of the it's like the old lady young lady thing where
no,
like once you see it from the other angle,
this is a young lady.
It's hard
it's
to
a
unsee
blue
it
dress.
Chris has a hard time just seeing the other side of things. He's not open-minded enough to look at it that way. And I'm looking. It looks like all Orioles have black beaks.
I disagree.
None of them have orange beaks. So the beak is definitely black.
Okay, let's go through some baseball stuff. Rapid fire here so we can do some week 2 planning and some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Tell me how significant this is if you're willing to pick someone up because of it. Chris Davis led off for the Orioles yesterday, and Chris Davis is 62% owned.
I mean,
they said that it's not necessarily a full-time thing.
Okay. Enrique Hernandez batted cleanup for the Dodgers. Cody Bellinger batted fifth.
And that was against what pitcher? Block, who's left-handed? Not Enrique Hernandez was much better against righties this spring and worked on that this offseason, but if he doesn't play every day, he's obviously not going to matter.
He should play every day.
I don't think he will.
Put him and Wilmer Flores in the same boat. I'd love to see them get a chance. They won't.
Ryan Braun was at first, but this wasn't surprising. Eric Thames sat against a lefty. So Braun played first, and Santana was in right field against a lefty. Okay, so we'll see what happens against a righty. Zach Cozart led off. Kinsler was out, but Cozart led off, played second base, went 3-for-6 with a home run, a double, and 2 strikeouts for the Angels. I wonder where he will hit when Kinsler's in, but top of the order, that was nice.
Yeah, I don't think they're planning for a top of the order. I think it's like 6th.
Okay.
But still, I mean, it's one game, but I feel like he was underrated all of draft prep season. I wanted us to get him in the For the People League, and we didn't.
Cozart, well, don't worry, Scott. I drafted him last night in the league that we don't share. So
yeah, that was for you. That doesn't help me.
Shohei Ohtani batted 8th and DH'd at Oakland. He went 1-for-5 with a strikeout. Colorado against a lefty started Desmond at first, Gerardo Parra, Charlie Blackmon, Carlos Gonzalez in the outfield. And for you daily players, Chris Iannetta had a 967 OPS against lefties last year. So when he's catching, that's a guy you want to consider against lefties. But, all right. So they did have Blackmon, Parra, and Cargo, obviously Blackmon, but 3 lefties in the outfield against a left-handed pitcher.
And that, like, I won't really feel any confidence in the Colorado situation until we get a non-opening day game. I figured they're not Gabe Kapler. They're going to start their veterans.
Right. Matt Carpenter played third. Jose Martinez played first. We saw that. Martinez did make a throwing error, so keep that in mind. Justin Bour started against a lefty, and Cameron Maben sat for Garrett Cooper. And we talked about the Phillies. Cesar Hernandez, 60% owned. He led off. He went 2-for-5 with a homer. He had a 906 OPS in April last year. He had a great April. Ended up hitting, I think, just 9 home runs.
He's a great player.
He's good.
Cesar Hernandez. Devin Travis is 20% owned. He led off for the Blue Jays. Anyone care?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this was a guy over the course of his first 2 seasons was on a 20 homer, 300 average pace.
All right. That's Devin Travis. John Jay led off for the Royals. Probably don't care about that, right?
A little bit of stolen base potential, but not much.
And Yoan Moncada led off, went 1-for-6 with a double and 2 strikeouts at Kansas City. But he did lead off. So.
He can't hit lefties. It's actually kind of an underrated thing about his skill set. He was not very good against lefties in the minors either. So something to keep in mind.
Can we call that the Zoolander syndrome? Zoolander
sure.
Can't turn left.
Yeah.
Can't hit lefties.
Yeah. Right.
I wondered where you're going with that.
Great, great start by James Shields.
Yeah, it was.
Big start.
So you're saying Yoan Moncada needs to go to the Derek Zoolander school for kids who can't hit and need to learn to do other things well?
Good.
On the topic of things that we thought would be a big deal that we are not including among the things that are a big deal, Ohtani started at DH on opening day.
What are you talking
and
about?
And hit 3 balls at 95 miles per hour.
Oh, you did? He
brought that up.
You did mention that, Adam?
Brief mention.
I'm pretty
sorry.
Good for a high school pitcher.
Yeah.
Which is what one scout called him in a Yahoo article.
Wow. What a jerk.
All right.
Well, a high school pitcher probably couldn't hit major league pitching.
High school hitter. Yeah, I mean, his hit wasn't very impressive. Just a ground ball. That
a little dribbler. Yep. But he was in the lineup.
Major
which,
league hit.
Worm burner.
We'll see if he's in the lineup again today.
Encouraged, discouraged, or neither by Cole Hamels.
Encouraged.
I'm looking at his... because the story this spring is he wanted more strikeouts. He was working in a slider. He got more strikeouts. Did he throw a slider? Not according to Baseball Savant. Now, there is this FC, which is what, Chris?
Cutter.
Fastball cutter.
Yeah.
And a cutter and a slider get mistaken for each other.
That was his best swing and miss pitch yesterday. He had 12 swinging strikes, 6 on that pitch. So
yeah,
maybe
I guess some of those were sliders.
Referring to.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think Hamels looked good. I'm just going to speed it up. He did walk 4, though. That is a big... That's a big thing with Hamels.
Yeah.
It's the Astros.
So you know how, like, when you have a curveball and a slider and they're kind of the, like some pitchers say, I've got a slurve because it's a mix between the two. if his slider is kind of a mixture of a slider and a cutter, what would you call that?
It's not. It's a cutter. Like it's 87 miles per hour. His fastball is 90.
I get it.
A slider.
It's obviously a collider.
A slider?
Are you encouraged or discouraged by J-Hap?
Neither.
Did J-Happian things yesterday.
Yeah.
We lived happily ever after.
Are you encouraged or discouraged by Julio Teheran? The bullpen did let him down a little bit.
Neither.
No, he's whatever. Like, if he's on your roster, fine. If he's on the waiver wire, fine.
Are you encouraged or discouraged by Patrick Corbin?
Encouraged.
Very.
Yeah. Nice start. Yeah. 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. Did give up 2 home runs. That can be a little bit of an issue for him, but good start.
Yeah, the humidor didn't save him. Didn't save him yesterday.
How about Garrett Richards? Encouraged, discouraged, or neither?
I'm discouraged.
I mean, I hoped for more. It's ultimately 1 start.
That's a game I paid a lot of attention to because he was one of our favorite starts in DFS, and he was kind of chalky too, so he's everyone's favorite start in DFS. He was battling this entire game just to get out of innings and then really looked like he ran out of gas pretty early, which is something we're concerned with Garrett Richards.
The fastball was 96.6 miles per hour, so
that's good.
That's good.
Physically, he was fine.
Are you interested in adding Mitch Haniger, who went 3-for-3 with a double, or David Peralta, who went 3-for-5 with 2 runs?
Mitch Haniger.
Haniger.
Yeah, more so Haniger. I don't know that I'm rushing to do either, but, you know, they keep this up for 2 or 3 more games, maybe.
In deep leagues, do you want any of these guys? They're 16% owned or less. Gerard Dyson, Lucas Duda, Lonnie Chisenhall, Denard Span. Gerard Dyson, Lucas Duda, Lonnie Chisenhall, Denard Span.
I think Dyson's a nice 1 month fill in category to get you some steals, and I expect him to play quite a bit. So Dyson and Rowe.
If Cameron Maben doesn't play today, I would drop Cameron Maben for him.
I might consider, if Cameron Maben doesn't play again, Garrett Cooper in deeper leagues.
Yeah, and we were not surprised, if you listen to the Sportsline DFS podcast, that Lucas Duda, I mean, nobody was surprised that he homered off James Shields. He was a popular play yesterday.
It was a doodong.
It was a doodong. News and notes, Yuli Gurriel is serving a 5-game suspension. He might be able to return after that. Zach Godley will be a 1-start pitcher. He'll pitch on Tuesday. Bryce Harper has hit a home run on 3 straight opening days. Keep an eye on that. Nate Karns could be back soon for Kansas City. Does he factor into the rotation?
He was supposed to.
He looked good when he pitched this spring, and this is why I hold out confidence for Matt Harvey, because, you know, Nathan Karns is coming back from thoracic outlet surgery, and nobody's
currently on the DL.
I know, but he looked good this spring, and he's coming back soon, and nobody's freaking out. Oh, he's finished. He's toast.
It's Nate Karns.
But at the same time, it's Nate Karns, and yet the Royals still think he's good enough to beat. I'm just saying, like
the Royals rotation.
We're inconsistent in how we approach. I'm doing a Chris thing here.
Name the guys he's going to beat out for the Royals rotation.
We do this thing where we think it's one thing, but it's actually another thing when we apply it to this other player.
I'm sorry that we have not expressed enough concern about Nate Karns for you, Scott.
I will go
on the record as believing
not
Nate Karns.
Not necessarily us, Scott, but like Royals beat writers. You know, you think they would make a big deal about he's coming back from this awful thing.
In the interest of consistency, I will go on the record and say I think Nate Karns will not be good.
Okay.
Jake Lamb had a bad strikeout against a lefty. He had a good game yesterday night, a bloop single that scored 2 runs, but Lamb had 4 RBIs yesterday, I think. He had a bad strikeout against a lefty, and when he was up, Steve Berthume and whoever was doing the game with for the Diamondbacks did mention that this is something that to keep an eye on this year, Jake Lamb against lefties. He's been terrible against lefties, and Scott mentioned him as a bust in the preseason, but even before the humidor, because we think Lamb could end up sitting against lefties, which hadn't been the case until late last year, if I think I'm summing that up properly.
Yep.
So he looked terrible against a lefty last night, but that was in a reliever. All right, so Scott, tell me some sleeper hitters for next week.
So a big thing next week is 4 lefties in 6 games for the White Sox, and they have a couple of available hitters who mashed lefties last year, and Avisail Garcia and Tim Anderson, who homered twice yesterday.
Matt Davidson.
Did he mash lefties last year? He didn't stand out to me, but maybe he did. I think also I like the Rangers matchups, and Delino DeShields is still available in a lot of leagues with that 50 steal potential. Athletics actually have the best matchups, and there are a lot of everyday Athletics who are available, such as Stephen Piscotty, Marcus Simeon, who had a three-hit opener. Jed Lowry is available in like 85% of leagues and actually had a good year last year. So they're all up there. Jamer Candelario, the Tigers have good matchups again for the second straight week. I like him. A lot of righties for the Astros, so Josh Reddick looks like a good play. I don't want to give them all away.
No, that's fine.
Top 10 sleeper hitters for week 2. It's already on the site.
And I'm going to say this. I used the sleeper hitters column. He does a lot of sleeper hitters. Might just be one per week that you use, but it's really helpful. So on Sunday night, something or get a jump on it, Saturday night or whatever, it's something to really consider. If you can stream sort of like the last hitter on your roster, could really help you out. So I use
also great for the matchup analysis.
Yeah.
The five best and worst matchups if you're looking for a tiebreaker.
Right. And you'll learn some stuff about who's good against righties and lefties, and that'll help you if you play DFS. All right. So two star pitchers next week. You might have a better list than I have. So who are some of the guys that we could pick up for two starts?
So Jake Junis is my favorite two-start sleeper. One we didn't mention when we went around the room was Miles Michaelis, who had a very strong finish to spring training, obviously a good three-year run in Japan. He's making two starts.
Yeah, do you want to see it first? Because that's why I didn't say him instead of
Well, him. Yes, in theory. Here's the thing about both of these columns is, like, you don't want to have to turn to the waiver wire for a sleeper in any given week. You want to just have good players on your roster that you can slot in. And I think at the start of the season, especially, 90% of the people listening are in that situation. You can basically just ignore them. I want you to get the clicks, but you can ignore the information because you're better off going with your starting players. I would rather not have to start Michaelis, but if, like, in a points league where I've already rostered him, I'm probably not sitting him because, you know, the possibility of a disaster in the points league, the damage isn't as bad usually because it's not wrecking ERA and WHIP.
I completely forgot to mention Chase Anderson. He's a two-star pitcher next week. We'll see what he does, but he had a great start yesterday. You can't start Julio Teheran home against Washington and at Colorado. No chance. Would you start Cole Hamels at Oakland and home against Toronto?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Especially in points.
Yeah, it's much easier in points if this be the first of many times we say it. But in points leagues, you're just accumulating points, so two-star pitchers are helpful. In Roto, you know, or categories, you have to worry about your ratios. Would you start Matt Harvey against Philadelphia and at Washington?
I mean, it's going to – probably not, because that's going to be his first two starts of the season. So it would – I'd be more likely to do it in a points league than Roto, but probably not.
Chris Towers, you own Jordan Montgomery in the Memorial Magazine League.
A lot of leagues.
Tampa Bay and Baltimore at home. Start or sit Jordan Montgomery.
The Baltimore matchup is the one that you would be concerned about, but they still strike out a lot. They're a low on base percentage team, so I'd start him.
Me too.
Okay. Sean Newcomb. Oh, yeah, no. Washington and at Colorado. Absolutely not. Andrew Triggs. Hyunjin Ryu. Is anybody else feeling Hyunjin Ryu? I feel like he's kind of underrated.
I have him behind Julio Teheran, who you said absolutely not to, but I do have him ahead of Sean Newcomb in my two-star pitcher rankings here. So it's kind of a borderline area where it just kind of depends how averse you are to risk. Again, if 90% of people listening wouldn't want to force Miles Michaelis into their lineup, then probably 96% of people listening wouldn't want to force Ryu into their lineup.
So, Scott, you want to make a gentleman's bet, Ryu versus Teheran?
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
What are the terms of this bet?
Nothing. That gentleman's bet is just...
gentleman's bet.
Yeah.
That's all. It's going to be better. What's the measurement?
Points.
Points. Overall fantasy points.
Yeah, fantasy points.
All right. I'm down.
Cool. I'm in. All right, check out the column. And I guess there must be a lot of off days next week, which is typical of week...
There are six teams playing five games next week, and we're going to see more of that in general this year because more off days have been baked into the major league schedule. It's part of the reason why the season started so early, March 29th, the earliest I can remember.
So, yeah, so there aren't a ton of two-star pitchers on the waiver wire. All right, I think we're done. I'll just read a couple emails real quick from Brian. I have Chapman and Diaz in a 10-team roto league. Should I drop AJ Minter or Josh Hader for Keone Kella?
I'd drop Hader.
Yeah, I mean, you have to for a guy who's closing. Yeah.
And Doc Kratzer, our theme song man, says, hot take, there should be a moratorium on using a player's name in your team's name if said player is not on your team. You wouldn't wear a Pearl Jam t-shirt to a U2 concert.
I think a lot of people would.
Wearing a Pearl Jam concert to a t-shirt to a U2 concert is better than wearing a U2 t-shirt to a U2 concert.
You're an idiot. No,
you're
no,
at
we're done.
The concert. You don't need to tell people how much you like U2.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's assumed if you're there.
I thought you were going to hate on U2 and I was
No, I love U2.
Do you not wear a Marlins jersey to a Marlins
not
game
because
people
thing.
Assume you like the
not
Marlins?
Not the same thing.
It's
not the same
kind
thing.
I kind of agree
the Marlins
with Chris.
Jersey is to show support for the guys on the field.
You don't show support for the guys
Bono
on stage?
Bono doesn't need my support. That guy's got enough self-confidence, all right? Maybe Larry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the drummer's
the
name.
Drummer.
You don't think maybe the Marlins don't have any self-confidence, but most fans out there, you don't think Giancarlo Stanton?
I don't want to talk
remember
about
when he was
I don't want to talk about Giancarlo Stanton because Adam's going to have to get the bleep button out, and I can't deal with it right
Speaking
now.
Speaking of which, you guys should get your Dong Chasers picks ready for later today because – I am
Bryce
way
Harper.
Ahead in the standings with Giancarlo Stanton's double.
Bryce Harper.
Oh, nice work. Okay.
Bryce Harper's not on the slate, guys.
We're out of here. See you later. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you about it.